Let's stand up and pray together this morning with you. Would you pray with me, church? Can we be one together this morning? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. That's our promise from God. Be seated and enjoy yourself this morning. Y'all did that well. Let's do responsive reading. We're going to read from Psalm 122. This is a psalm, but we won't sing it, okay? We'll just read it together. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together. For thrones are set there for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Peace be within your walls, prosperity within your palaces. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. That's a beautiful psalm. You know, how many know that psalms are actually songs that were supposed to be sung? They're beautiful songs. I tried to put a couple of music in that one. I was glad when they said unto me, somebody put that to music. But you have to wonder, when David was writing them, Moses was writing, anybody writing them, they were not like songs like we have that have an ending and have words and they all line up together. They're just thoughts. But thoughts about who? God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Today's a new day. Do y'all give thanks this morning for the day that you have today? God gave it to you. I didn't give it to you. Your friends didn't give it to you. No church gave it to you, Sergio. God gave it to you. God gave you another day to hold on. If he gave you another day, he wants you to hold on to your promises. He wants you to hold on to the things that matter. He wants you to look up and see him. He wants you to enjoy this day, rejoice in this day, but hold on to him, knowing that he gave you this day is a beautiful gift. That's a good gift to start with, knowing that if he gave you this day, he's got other things for you too. Isn't that great? Just to think that God has something more for you today, if you will receive it. How many would receive it today? If God came here, would you receive the gift from them? Hallelujah. A new day. Could I have your attention for 1 minute? No, I know I got your, but I'm serious. Could I have you completely for 1 minute? I want you to stop thinking. I want you to clear your thoughts. I want you to close your eyes if you want. If you're with somebody, I want you to forget that they're with you. I want you just to be quiet and just feel it. Just listen. Don't think of your troubles, your problems. What are you going to do for lunch? Just don't think about it. Just be at peace and listen. So you can almost hear the wind blow. And as you're listening, you can almost feel which way the wind is blowing. Listen. Just for 1 minute, just turn everything else off. Turn off everything you thought about and just listen. Listen to that car. Listen to the noise. Just listen. Listen. What are you hearing? You're in a place right now where you can hear from God because you've removed all the noise. You're in a place right now where the Spirit can lead you, can lift you, can hold you. Ask God to come into your heart right now. Just listen. Just listen. The peace. The quiet. Just listen to that. The beauty of that peace where God can speak to you. God can come to you. You've removed every barrier, every thought, every problem, so that God can fill you. Jesus, come into our hearts. Jesus, come into this church. Lord, we love you. We just worship you, Lord. We need more of you. Help us, Lord. Just listen to that. Listen to how beautiful that sounds. You can almost hear the sun coming. You can almost hear the sun. You can almost feel that breeze and tell which direction it's blowing in. You're so ready to receive God. That's the way. Sergio, that's the way. You asked me once, how did I get to that place with God one day? That's how you do it. Brother John, you want to find God in a day? That's how you do it. Bonnie, you really want to hear from God? You got it. Everything else has to go. Every other thought, every problem, everything that you're going through, whatever you're believing has to go. Psalm 146. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. In 1 Kings it says, in that still, small voice. Bonnie, that's when you're going to hear him. When you allow all the other stuff to go. Fred, when you really just let go of all your thoughts. Everything that you're thinking about. You're thinking, this pastor's crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm crazy about God. David, if you just remove all the thoughts and just let that quiet. Wherever you are, find a place where you can find that quiet and let God speak to you. Let him speak to you so deeply inside that you're moved, that you can feel your knees getting weak because now you want to be in his presence. You've removed every obstacle and now you want to be in the presence of God. He will do that. He will honor that. He will answer that. But as you're doing that, the peace that's going to come through your body is going to heal your thoughts, heal your body, heal you, make you stronger to face those things. When you remove everything else is when God can talk to you in that still, small voice. Be still and know that I am God. I pray that you receive that this morning. I pray that you use this gift that God has given you to do it again and again and again. Wherever you might be, on a sunny day, on a rainy day, sit and listen to the rain and just get all your thoughts gone and just think about Jesus. Think about all he's done. Just think about his love. Feel the warmth of his love and let him speak to you in that still, small voice. And that's when you will hear him. And that's when your strength will be stronger, your joy will be stronger, and your faith will be stronger, and you want to tell everybody about what God said to you. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Give him praise. In that still, small voice, be still and know that I am God. The Hebrew translation for the word still is rapa, R-A-P-A. It simply means to slacken, to let down, to cease, to stop. Be still and know that I am God means, Chuck, that you just stop everything. Not forgetting Marilyn. You love Marilyn with all your heart, but you just stop it now for you because you want to hear from God. You want that feeling from God to be greater than it's ever been in your life. The only way, Nancy, for you to receive that is to stop and just forget everything else And just let him enter you. Let him enter that spirit inside of you. Yearns to talk to you. Yearns to reach out and hold on to you. Elaine, that spirit inside of you wants you. Wants your attention. Wants to help you. Wants to heal you. Wants to make you stronger. And the only way that we're going to hear that is if we stop all the noise. Because God knows all your prayers. He knows all your problems. He knows all your concerns. He knows all the desires of your heart. He desires you to be with him. Sergio, that's how you're going to find it. And you're going to find it when you do it all by yourself. You know, we did it at church today, but you're going to find it when you go home, maybe in your living room, maybe out in the back on the deck, maybe with just the quiet, when you can finally just sit there and just turn it all off and let God speak to your spirit. It's powerful. Bonnie, that's the key. You got to feel God like that. He knows where you're going through. He's going to fight with you. He's been fighting. We got to this day because he's been fighting right along with you. Amen? You got to this day because God is fighting right along with you. Now is your chance. This is your time in your life where you can hear from God in that still small voice where he really wants to get in deep and then get from your heart and fill you with his love. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Give him praise. I've been praying about that all week, saying, Lord, help me with the words to use. Help me to make them understand that God wants to talk to you. Greg, he wants to talk to you. He talks to me. He wants to talk to you. And the only way he can talk to you is if you'll let him. He's not going to impose himself. He's not going to push himself on you. He's not going to overbear you. He wants you to let him in. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when you do that and you let him in like that, it's amazing. It's powerful. It's to the point where you just sometimes you feel like you can't breathe because you feel his presence so close. Yet it's so beautiful and so uplifting. And that's the problem. That's our God. That's the promise of our God. Isn't that a great promise? That he will always be with us. He will never forsake us. Let him in like that. Hallelujah. Lord, hear my prayer that they receive this message in a very different way. That we've never gone this way, but they see that. Then in the quiet of the day, in the quiet of their mind, is when they will hear from you. And that strength will be greater than anything they've ever had before. I believe that, and I pray that. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Incline your ears, Lord. And grant us thy prayer, Lord. And the church says, greater things happen in peace. Greater things happen when you're at a peaceful state. Your mind is working beautifully. Your body feels in harmony. Everything happens, and greater things happen when you're at peace. Greater joy you find when you're at peace. Greater joy you have in your life, John, when you're at peace. Greater joy. Because you're going to let God. Let God. I think that's beautiful. Thank you, Lord. We're going to talk about Brother Paul today. He had a problem with the Jewish Christians. They were called Judaizers. They would come, follow Paul wherever he was preaching and teaching, and they were trying to teach a different rule, another rule. They were trying to teach people that they had to become, are you ready for this? Jewish in order to accept Jesus. This is what they were doing behind Paul. They were following behind his preaching and they were saying, oh no, Jesus is great, Jesus is good, but before you can have Jesus, you got to become Jewish. That's what they were teaching and that's what they were preaching on. And this is what he was fighting with. And he wrote this letter to the Galatians. And the book of Galatians, by the way, is you got the four gospels. Everybody remember the four gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and hallelujah. The next book is Acts. The Acts is what? The Acts of the Apostles. And then you have that wonderful book of Romans, the two books of Corinthians, and then you have the letter to the Galatians. To these people. Now he wrote this letter to them, but he's writing it to Second Congregational in Derby, Connecticut today. Can I have an amen? Because we know that this book is alive and living, and what it says in this book pertains to today. Can I have an amen? There you go. So he's writing this, and he's having this problem, and it's amazing. So I'm going to read from the book of Galatians today. It says, follow laws and traditions or follow God? Who would you follow? The Jews wanted us to follow the traditions. We want to go back to the pure gospel. Hallelujah. God does not accept man-made religions as a substitute for faith in Jesus. Can I have an amen? Now again, the Jewish Christians trying to make believers live to the, by the law of Moses, walking all over the teachings of Paul and walking all over the teachings of the cross. Paul, an apostle from men, nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's a beautiful prayer, right? He's saying, grace to you, Second Congregational, and peace from God the Father, and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Whose sins? That's right. That he might deliver us from this present evil. Deliver who? According to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And here he starts his letter. And you can almost feel it. If you read this, you can almost feel his attitude, and you can almost feel his frustration, and you can almost feel him and feel what he's thinking. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. And he said, but even if we or an angel from heaven, who, an angel from where? He said, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Anybody know what that word means? We have a curse on you. It's just not something that you want to be. Amen. It's stronger anger against someone or something. He's saying, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. And Paul said, this is great. For I do not persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? I love that. It says, for do I now persuade men or God? He's saying, what am I going to persuade God? I'm going to give you false hope. I'm going to persuade God to do things that we want to do. How many would want that? Nobody would want that. Nobody wants anybody persuading God. Amen. You want God to lead us. And he's saying that. He's saying, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? Then he said this, for if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. What did he mean by that? He said, if I was still trying to please men, I wouldn't be standing here preaching to you about God. I'd be out there in the world doing all the worldly things, trying to make everybody else happy and trying to live my life in the flesh. He said, but no, I chose to be here with you and I've given my life to God. He said that I would not be a bondservant of Christ if I still tried to please men. Then he says this, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. Ooh. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then he said, for you have heard my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. What did he try to do? He tried to destroy the church of God. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father. He was saying that in my older life, I was zealous. I was a zealot. Remember last week your pastor said that Paul was actually a zealot for Jesus? He was a zealot back then for anything against God. And he said he rose up higher than his contemporaries. And he said that's who he was. He said, beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, Vonnie, you got to understand, Vonnie, Sister Vonnie, you're pleasing God. You really have to, Sister Nancy, Elder Nancy, you're pleasing God. When you're talking about Jesus, you're pleasing God. You're pleasing God by being here today. You're pleasing God. You are. God sees what you're doing and He loves what you're doing. You're here today to receive more of God. It's so beautiful. He said, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, He said, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. What's he saying there? He's saying when God finally touched him, when he was converted and God touched him and taught him, he didn't go run right outside and start preaching the word to God. He didn't start getting into people's faces, Sergio. He went off to be by himself. For 3 years, he went off to be by himself. You know why? Because he had to what? What's the big word people have a problem with? He had to change. His whole life, his whole belief, his whole faith in what he did had to change. He had to look inside himself first and see all that he did and all that he was going to do differently. So he had to go off where? By himself. To be with himself and to pray about it and to talk about it and to feel what God had told him and what God told him on the road to Damascus. So Paul had to go off and be alone for a while because he had big changes in his life coming up. Huge changes. He was going to give up everything that he believed in to start a new life with who? God. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among Gentiles. Who are Gentiles? Everybody raise your hand. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And then it says, then after 3 years, how many years? I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And then he writes in parentheses, now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. He's telling us that this is a personal message. This is a personal thing from us. Paul wanted us to read this personally. He said, I saw none other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And then in parentheses, personally saying, now know this second congregational, please. Concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Then he said, afterward I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by the face of the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. What's he saying? He went to these places and started preaching. People didn't know him there. He went to places that didn't know him. They just heard him, and they heard about him, and they saw this man who was persecuting the church now preaching the word of God, now preaching the word of God with authority, with power, with love, with devotion. And who did they give the glory to? God. Why did they give the glory to God? Because it was God who changed him. They saw the change in him, and these people heard the word, and they received the word, and they said, glory to God. Look what God did in his life. He can do that in all our lives. Amen? I love that. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me for what God did in him. That's who they glorified God. Then he said, then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel which I preached among Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation. Let me stop there just to understand. Peter, James, the apostles were speaking to mostly Jewish Christians, amen? They were trying to get the Jewish people on board with Jesus. And Paul was called to speak to who, Jim? The Gentiles, us. This was Paul's calling, not to go to the other Jewish people, but to go to the Gentiles, us. He's giving us the word because we're included in the word of God, because we're included in the family. But he understands where Peter and James and the apostles were. I love this part because it's pretty cool. I think it's all cool. I'm sorry. He said, then after 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem. 14 years. 14 years he spent preaching in church. He spent working at it. He spent reading it. He spent studying it. He spent changing his life. He waited 14 years until he felt like he might be ready. He went up to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and he took Titus with him. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. He's saying that I went to Peter and I went to James because I wanted to talk to them. I wanted to tell them what I was doing. I wanted to make sure that we were on the same plane. I wanted to make sure that they knew that I wasn't trying to do anything against what they were preaching, that I was preaching right along with them, that we were in the same family. I wanted them to understand. See, he had respect for their place. He understood who they were. I believe he calls them people of reputation. He understood that those apostles had a reputation. So he went to them first, and he told them what he was doing with the Gentiles, what he was preaching and what he was teaching with the Gentiles. See, he did it in decency and order. He went the right way. He went to them before he went to the people. Amen. You all understand what he's saying there? I think it's great. He said, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly, listen to this, is great, secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty. Whose liberty? Our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. What's he saying? These people came against him and they didn't submit 1 minute. How many? Not 1 minute. They didn't give him 1 minute, these people who came against God. Understand, how much time did not give him? Not even 1 minute. Not even 1 hour. And I love this. I love this verse. He said, but from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. You should have that crossed in your Bible, should have a color. God shows no personal favor to no man. For those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, that they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they should and they to be circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor, and the very thing which I was eager to do. Hallelujah. He's saying that he just believed what he was preaching. He believed what he was saying. And he went to James, Cephas, and John and the other apostles. And they shook hands saying, yes, they agreed to what he was preaching on. And he said that they desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. How many know we always need to remember the poor? Amen. That's what we do as Christians. We want to help others. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Now here's a bold thing he did. Here's Paul now, and he's with Peter. And he's gonna get right in his face, Jim. He's gonna disagree with him, and he's not afraid to say why. And if you read it, you'll understand and you'll enjoy it. He said, I withstood to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, before James brought certain people with him, Peter would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as a Jew, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. This is the law. Amen. Nobody's justified by that. Let me read that again, because that's so powerful. He said, when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, Peter, if you, being a Jew, lived in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? And he was saying, we who are Jews by nature are not sinners but of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. By how? Faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. How much flesh? None. He said, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister? Seek to be justified by Christ. We ourselves are also found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. He's telling him that if righteousness came through these laws, the Ten Commandments, if this is where we got justified, if this is our salvation, then Christ died in vain. He didn't need to die, if that's the truth. But we live through faith in Jesus for what he did. We don't live by the law. We walk by how? Faith. And what is faith? Simply believing. Faith. Believing God. You have that faith. Everybody has a measure of faith. You want that faith muscle to grow, spend more time with God. He will show you more things. Get in that place with God where he can talk to you. He will show you more things. That's where your faith grows. And your faith needs to be strong so you can stand on that rock, because how many know things are going to come from the left and things are going to come from the right and problems are going to hit you straight on? But if you're standing on the rock, you do not fall. And you stand on that rock when your faith is strong. You need to be strong. God is calling us to be strong. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. And then he asked this. We're going to end here. I'm going to cut it off just right here. Stay. I can read this book all day. This only I want to learn from you, everybody here today. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? You mean you didn't get it by the law? You got it how? Hallelujah. They said, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or hearing by faith? They said, faith, Lord. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Thank you. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham before, saying, in you, Abraham, all the nations shall be blessed. How many? How many? All the nations. Does that include us? Hallelujah. We're all to be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. I'm going to end right there, but this is the book. I just read Galatians right up to 3, right into the third chapter. This is what Paul was facing, and I think he answered it quite well. And this is what Paul was talking about, and I think he explained it quite well. It's really, if you start to read it and understand what he's saying to us, we are God's people. We are His children. We are His children. We belong to God. We don't belong to God by law. We belong to God by how? Faith. That's it. It's simple. And he made it that simple. And Paul said, he even said witchcraft. Did you see that when he said that? I love that. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? He was confused. He gave them freedom. He gave them God. He gave them Jesus. He gave them a chance to go out there and do it. And somebody else said, no, you don't do it that way. You got to do it another way. You got to follow the law. And all these places that you go and they say you got to follow the law. Why are they telling us that? Because God removed the law. Because we have faith in Jesus. Amen? That's what we're talking about. And this book of Galatians, where Paul was going through, is for us today. To stand knowing that you're standing in the right place. You're on the right rock. You're in the right place. You're in the right pew. You're where God wanted you to be because you're sitting here in faith wanting to hear something from God. You wanted to receive something from God. You got to get there and receive it. Allow it to enter you. Will you allow it to enter you today? Will you receive that and say, God gave it to me. Not a church, not a denomination, not a religion, but God gave it to me through faith. Simply faith in God. The just shall live by faith. Give Him praise, children. Give Him praise. Everybody pray together while Joanne is, just pray to talk to God. Receive that. Receive the blessing. Receive Jesus. He's yours. He loves you. He loves you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hand on your face. Hallelujah. Yes. Church, feel His breath on your face. Feel Him touching your hair. Feel His love. He's been there all the time. Here is the month of June 2019. He has been with you all the time. He has not forsaken you. He knows your desires. He just wants you to trust Him, to feel His presence, to know that He's right there with you, holding your hand, holding on to you, holding you up. Loving you for what you're saying, loving you for what you're doing for Him. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows the desires of this pastor's heart to have this church full, but He's calling it the way He wants it to be. He knows the desires of your heart to have people healed. He knows that. He loves the fact that you're calling on Him for that. We should never stop believing, never stop praying, never stop seeing the glory of God, but you need to feel Him right now with you. He's been with you. He's just touching your hair, touching your face, looking at you and loving you and so grateful for who you are. The angels in heaven rejoicing because you're calling on the name of Jesus, because you have faith in the name of Jesus. The angels are rejoicing because we're calling others to Him. We're calling sinners to repent. we're telling the world about the freedom that we have in Jesus, the love that we have. We need to share that love with others. Just let God lead you. Let God take you there. Don't fight it. Don't worry about it. Don't stress out about it. Don't get concerned that it ain't happening the way you want it to. Be just knowing that you're doing it with God, and He sees ahead of you, and He knows why, and He knows the ifs and the whens and the whats. Just trust Him with that. Just do all you can do, and then rest and feel His presence with you. Feel His love with you. Find time to just talk with Him and let Him fill you with that peace that surpasses all your understanding. And all those problems that you have that you're going to have tomorrow, next week, and the week after, you'll find out that they're so small compared to the great things that God can do in your life and wants to do with you. Just love Him today. Love each other today. Love the Word of God today. Have faith in God today. Call somebody that you haven't seen in a while. Say, I love you. I miss you. Call a family member and say, I love you. I miss you. We need to pray for those who are hurting today and lift up those with joy and share all those things with God. Just feel Him today, Second Congregational. God is here. God is present with us because we love Him, because we called Him to be here. We invited Him here. So enjoy that. Enjoy the blessings of this church, this temple that we've been blessed with. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Give Him praise, church. Saved by one law, then Jesus would not have had to die on that cross. If we were saved by one law or by one tradition, everything that He did would have been in vain. It wouldn't have been necessary. Everything that Paul told us would not have been necessary. Every Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John word that they gave us would have been not necessary. Hallelujah. If we could have been saved by any work of the law, by anything that we did, it's what God did for us that we received our salvation. And in this church, we're just simply remembering what He did for us on that cross. Once for all, we do this in remembrance of Him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Your heart, just saying to yourself, God sees it too. Imagine what it causes His pain to see the sadness of people and the things that they're doing when He gave His Son for us to live this beautiful life. When He looks down and sees what the people are doing, hallelujah, what they could have and what they give up. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Deacon. I like to think about this during the Lord's Supper. with all my brethren here. You all know what this is. You know what the Lord's Supper is because you have the Bible and you've read it and you've heard it over and over again. But understand that those that were sitting with him have no idea what he was talking about. They didn't understand when he said, "This is my body being torn for you. Eat and do this in remembrance of me." They probably said, "What's he talking about?" But you know what he meant by that. That he stood in the gap for us and he took our whippings and he was just beaten for us. For us, once for all. And he asked his people to do this in remembrance of him in Jesus' name. After he gave this message, some people left him. They walked away from him. Others said, "We have nowhere else to go. Where are we going to get salvation? Where can we find anybody like you, Jesus?" He took the wine and poured it into a cup, said, "This is my blood being shed for you, for the remission of your sins." And he simply said, "Drink and do this in remembrance of me." Cleanse us this morning, Lord, to receive. Thank you, Lord. Remove our iniquities this morning, Lord. Heal our land. Heal our house, Lord. Cleanse us so we can receive this blessing from you, not from man, not from laws, not from traditions, not from rules and regulations, but from you, freely given. We freely receive it, Lord. We receive your blessing and your sacrament. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. What you're praying for. He knows. He's there with you, praying with you. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in your heart. He knows the kind of child you are and all the great things you want to do. He knows my desires and the great things I want to do for him. And he just calmly says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God, Larry. I hear your prayer. Trust me. I ask you to do the same, church. Trust him. Trust him. Nothing you do is done in vain. No work that you do is done in vain. Nothing that you say about God ever goes in vain. It touches somebody. You might not know, you might not see, but it touches somebody. We'll reach people. Thank you, Lord. To be covered by the blood of Christ is a gift from God. We do this in remembrance of Jesus, in Jesus' name. I know it's hard to hear from God all the time or think about God every minute because you got a life and you're living it. And you get so busy with supper, making dinner, all the things you're doing at work. But it just takes away from all that noise when you give him just a little time. And I pray that you do give him just a little time. Maybe read a page of the Bible or just talk with your wife or your husband or your family just about God for a minute. Give them some hope. Give them something to think about. And just let God do the rest. Amen. God is so good. He is so good. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows your prayer. You just have to have faith to stand with him. I pray that you all be strong in that. Hallelujah.